Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the program Women's Weekly, and you're with me, Zakira Ansarmia, sitting in for sister Amara, who is on the journey of Hajj, alhamdulillah. And today I have a special surprise for you, as inshallah, we will be having sister Amara with us live on the first half of the program. So yes, that's what you can expect. Some of her experiences she will be telling us about. Also, she will be telling us about a discovery that was made of a new spring of the Zamzam, etc. And what you can also expect then is a readout that one of the sisters sent to me. Sister Fatima sent me a very beautiful WhatsApp message yesterday entailing her sister's experience on Hajj. So that's what you can expect in this program, Women's Weekly today. And obviously in the second segment of the program then, we will have our sister's guide to Hajj, where like yesterday, we first spoke about our audio ziyara, and thereafter we went into the normal Q&A that you have posed to me during the week with regards Hajj. It's now time for us to go for an ad break. When we return, inshallah, we will have Sita Amara with us online.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. On the authority of Abi Abdul Rahman, Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Islam is built on five pillars, testifying that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, performing the prayers, paying the zakat, making the pilgrimage to the house, and fasting in Ramadan, was related by Al-Bukhari.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27-4 investment managers. You can now invest in our top performing Sharia compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
You are listening to Women's Weekly on Radio Islam International.
Yes, welcome back. This is the program Women's Weekly, and you're with me, Zakira Ansarmia, sitting in for Sister Amara. And alhamdulillah, today our roles are reversed. Normally, I'm the one that's, speaking to you via Skype, and Sister Amara is far away in the studios, in Indonesia, speaking to you. And yesterday, I am still in Durban, speaking to you via Skype, but Sister Amara is many, many hundreds of miles away from us today. Sister Amara speaks to us from Madinatul Munawwara today. Subhanallah. It's so exciting. So let's see if we have Sister Amara with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Zakira to you and all the listeners as well. I say assalamu alaikum to everybody.
Sister Amara, it's absolutely wonderful having you with us on the program. If you could only see the big smile on my face, you'd understand how excited I am. Anyway, Sister Amara, you are in Madinatul Munawwara. And the listeners are waiting to hear from you, from your experiences, what it's like. And, you know, with Hajj not yet having started, right now that feeling may still be far from, you know, that excitement, those butterflies as it comes close to the days of Hajj. So what is it like right now from where you are, Sister Amara? If you could just paint us a little picture.
Zakira and all the listeners, Jazakallah for calling me and for allowing me to share some of my experiences and reflections as well. Well, the spiritual atmosphere in Medina is pure sweetness. The calm and peaceful atmosphere of Medina is just beyond one's imagination. Now, many of the charge actually come in from different countries and they come direct to Medina. And then again, some who charge actually land in Jeddah and come by bus to Medina. Now, the haram in Medina is actually getting quite full. The whole of Medina is getting quite full with many, many, many pilgrims coming in from all four corners of the world. And, you know, you can just see so many people to and fro some going to and from the hotel to the haram. And, you know, many, many wear the different color dress code as well.
Tamara, I'm sorry to have to cut you off, but it was really interesting hearing your whole description. The line is a little bit scratchy, so inshallah, Hafiz Muhammad Bilal is going to just try and get you on a little better line. So the listeners will have to wait a few minutes just to get you back, inshallah, and hear your experience further.
يا جبال الحرم يا جبال الحرم میری نظروں میں تم کو بڑے محترم يا جبال الحرم يا جبال الحرم میری نظروں میں تم ہو بڑے
Alhamdulillah, we have Sister Amara back with us online, and inshallah, this time we have a clearer line. And let's welcome Sister Amara back then, Sister Amara.
Assalamu alaikum, Fatira.
Ah, mashallah, that sounds like a much more better line. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Yes, so Sister Amara, you were saying about the groups of people from the hotel to the haram. You may continue.
Yes, you know, so many, like I said, so many hujjaj coming in from all four corners of the world. And Medina is getting quite full now. In fact, if you need to go for any salah, you need to go at least about an hour and a half before the time of salah, because the haram gets quite full and then they end up closing the doors. And because it's
an hour, Medina, that's like a really long time then.
It's a long time, yes, because everybody wants to get into the haram. It's quite hot outside, and eventually they actually start closing the doors, and then you end up reading your salah outside under umbrellas, but it's still so beautiful indeed.
Absolutely, I'm sure it must be that way. You know, Samara, when you're there, there's just a different atmosphere. You know, like my husband was saying to one of his friends recently in a conversation, he said, you know, when you're there, you don't mind sitting outside, you don't mind sitting anywhere, just so that you are there. It just makes such a big difference. The whole emotional aspect about it is absolutely different. So perhaps you can give us a little bit of insight. It's going to have to be a synopsis and a brief version of it. Tell us a little about how it was when you left and the emotions that flowed, and finally now that you've settled into Medina for a few days, how has it been?
Well, you know, last week Wednesday we left for Medina. And, you know, the bidding farewell part was the hardest part for all of us. And alhamdulillah, we made our way to the airport, and we landed in Jeddah at about 1 a.m. And then we had to go through to domestic. We actually went through Hajj Terminal. And Hajj Terminal was basically a breeze. It was so well organized. And I must say the jazakumah to all the SAUK officials there who assisted us, and very, very well organized. We put our hats off for them, alhamdulillah. Then we had to go take a connecting flight to Medina. So there we had a bit of a wait, but alhamdulillah, we only got to Medina at about Zuhr time on Thursday. And, well, everybody had a good rest, and alhamdulillah, made their way to the haram and was in Mubarak. And alhamdulillah, since then it's been quite well, you know, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, that sounds lovely. So Samara, not so long ago there was a video circulating. In fact, I think you made us aware of this as well, that there is a new spring of Zamzam that has been found in the recent construction in Mecca. A little bit about that?
Yes, I also received that video, and it's basically more the construction workers were digging, and water started gushing out, and they realized it's also a spring of Zamzam was actually found, and alhamdulillah, that was one of the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, subhanAllah. Now, just to put the listeners in the picture here a little bit, when we do speak about the well of Zamzam, we must realize that when the well of Zamzam came into being, there were a few outlets that were set forth. So there was one at the spot where Ismail alayhi salam was, and then a few in different directions. Inshallah, later on in our audio ziyara, where we speak about the Haram and Makkatul Mukarramah in particular, today we'll be completing that. That's where you will hear about how the springs of Zamzam spread forth in various locations of the Haram. So yes, alhamdulillah, this is another one of them that was discovered now in the recent construction. Well then, Sister Amara, how many days do you have left in Medina, and when do you make your way to Makkatul Mukarramah?
Inshallah, we make our way to Makkah on Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's what when we leave from the hotel, we actually go to Bir early, put on our ihrams there, and make our intention for ihram, and then we proceed to Makkah, inshallah, with the bus.
Inshallah, lovely.
Inshallah.
And thus far, any of the South African hujjaj leave any messages with you to relay back home?
There's a couple here that actually, whenever you speak about the children, you ask about the children, they get so emotional,
Shame.
The father, he just starts crying all the time. And then there's another couple who just married about 3 months now, and they're on hutch together, so that's quite sweet, you know. And in fact, the group that we're in, they're actually such lovely people to be with, you know. And they're all like a big family, helping one another, assisting one another. And alhamdulillah, we all got to get along so well.
Alhamdulillah, lovely. So, Samara, one of the listeners sending in a little request over here. She says that please send the Ummah salams to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Convey our salams, the salams of the listeners of Radio Islam, to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and please do remember us in your du'as.
See, I will. And you're making du'a for the whole Ummah as well.
Yes, definitely. Now, Samara, while you're with us on the line, I'd like to share something, because this sister has sent this in to us when I mentioned yesterday towards the end of the program that inshallah we were going to have you on today. And this sister sent this in and asked me to read it out while you were with us on air. So she says that her sister has migrated to Brazil. She's imparting deen over there. And when she went on her first journey of Hajj, these were her thoughts, and she penned them, and this is what her experience was as follows. So she says, the experience of Hajj is a journey of mind, body, spirit, and soul. All words, pictures, and books are inadequate in expressing this most amazing journey, a lifelong dream awaited for a moment you wish never to end. Ah, how could I do justice in describing how it feels to be the guest of the Lord of both the worlds. Where do I start? How do I begin? Serenity, the peace that enveloped us in the valley of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we stepped into Medina for the very first time. It was as though we could hear the Tala al-Badru alayna being sang. Oh, the joy in the faces of the Muhajireen and the Ansar, walking in the streets of Medina, passing by the date orchards, trying to envisage what Medina would have looked like through the eyes of Salman al-Faris, radiallahu anhu, as he slaved in the heat of the day. Standing on the battlefields of Badr and Uhud makes one really ponder. My attempt to sacrifice for deen means nothing in comparison to the sacrifices of the Sahaba, I realize. We overlook the faults of others. Or wear hijab. Who wear the hijab? Or even those who abstain. And we try and keep away from small sins and consider it to be a great sacrifice. These acts are in essence part of being a true believer. What hypocrites are we, claiming to be followers of a deen that we do not embrace and practice wholeheartedly, wherever we go, in every different circumstance, company and environment, and when we do practice a little, we regard it as a great sacrifice. How shall we face our beloved Nabi if we were to be asked to present our sacrifices for deen Sumayya radiallahu anha would come with blood dripping from her wounds. Where shall we hide our faces on that day? Hearts racing as I sit and wait in the courtyard of the masjid of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the very ground where Sahaba sat, with birds perched on their backs, listening attentively to the pearls that flowed from he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak lips. When shall I be given a chance to enter into Jannah and whisper my most inner thoughts, feelings and emotions? Nervous and ashamed as I may be, for indeed I am not worthy of standing so close to the best of Allah's creation. With this in heart, I chant, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya sayyidi ya habibi ya Rasulallah. Oh, how I desire to be honored, to relive every scene and hear the melodious adhan of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, and it brings the desert, as it brings the desert alive. The pulse of the earth, a simple cube in awe each time I catch a glimpse of the black crop I am. I am home at the door of my Creator. Through the hustle and the bustle of the mother city, in all the rush and the frenzy, if I were to try hard enough, can I even perceive the scent of Musa bin Umair that once filled the streets? Will I be able to hear the sword of Hamza radiallahu anhu as it is being prepared for battle? A shiver runs up my spine. Where would I run if Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had to step up behind me? Standing on Mount Safa and Marwa, in the footsteps of our determined and steadfast mother Hajar, wondering what would be hers and the rest of the Sahabiyat radiallahu anhu's opinion with regard to the state of the Muslim woman today. Would they even regard us to be Muslim? Climbing up to the cave of Hira upon the path that Khadija radiallahu anha took to give food to her beloved as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in seclusion. My hair stands on end as I enter the cave and witness an angel reciting Iqra ya Muhammad as he trembled with fear sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, running down into the arms of his pillar of strength and repeating, Zammiluni, Zammiluni. Oh, what a dark day must it have been when our mother Khadija was carried out to Jannatul Mu'alla. Hajj, an act of every one of the Anbiya. Mina, where pledges of allegiance were taken by Sahaba and true faith was given by Ibrahim and Ismail. Arafah, O Arafah, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik, reverberating in the veins. Arafah, where the Ummah's duty was assigned to us, yet without fulfilling it, we stand on the plains, shamelessly begging for our sins to be forgiven. What shall be our state for those very plains on the day of Hisab? Muzdalifah, rich and poor, young and old, strong and weak, all lay under the same blanket of stars, seeking the same goal, the mercy of Allah. Returning to our beloved tented homes in Mina with the aim of ridding the devil from our lives gives one lots to ponder and contemplate about as life continues with a wrestle. Tears flow down uncontrollably, the moments keep flashing in the mind, and the intolerable stabbing, throbbing pain remains in the chest. Most definitely, a life of a haji shall never be the same, ever, ever again. Subhanallah, well, that samara was something that was sent in by one of the sisters, and I hope she was listening in to hear this account of her sister on her journey of Hajj. And I'm sure, Sitamara, when you are back, you will let us know what it felt like. Any thoughts from your side?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful, inspirational story indeed, yes. And really, really lovely sharing a whole Hajj experience and reflections with us as well. And we say, Jazakallah to the sister for sharing that with us as well. And Zakira for sharing with us. Yes, indeed, yes. You know, Zakira, I was just thinking, I said, when you go up and down to the Haram, you actually take note of a lot of things. And what was so fascinating for me is, there are so many hujjaj, like I said, coming in and out. In fact, there's so many buses already leaving for Mecca already. People, they're packing the buses and that. And you can actually see them, the men already dressed in Ihram, the women dressed in Ihram already. And what was actually so fascinating for me that the many female hujjaj have different dress codes. And like the Turks, they have the long khaki dresses. Then you've got the Chinese have a special type of a black burqa on. It's actually made with a cap. Okay. They just actually put it on. And they wear like a long dress, like a knee-length dress and a pants.
Uh-huh.
And then you find the Nigerians actually wear also different types of kaftans. And different color captains. They actually come out in Nigeria from Abuja, from Cote d'Ivoire, from Algeria, from so many places in Nigeria. They actually wear those different types of captains that are specially made for them when they come for Hajj with different types of colors, like a bright orange, a bright yellow, a bright blue. And you find the Indonesians and Malaysians, they actually wear those long English burqas with different color ribbons. And the Iranians actually wear those black cloths around them with also a different type of a ribbon or a different type of a band that actually, if they get lost, they actually can't find them quickly. And then you have, at the end of the day, it's all hijab. It's different types of hijab. And then you see the Pakistanis and those come from India also. They wear the normal Punjabis with their long dupattas. So different dress codes, but at the end of the day, all the females are still wearing the hijab, which is so, so beautiful for me.
Subhanallah. So Samara, you painting this picture to me and you letting us know what it's like, and really I can tell you, sitting here, you're actually giving me goosebumps, because I'm actually picturing myself walking those streets, sitting, waiting for the Rawda to open in those groups with the other ladies, and I can actually picture what you are saying, because, having been for Umrah and Hajj myself, alhamdulillah, when you speak about these things, and for any of the listeners that have gone, a picture automatically comes into your mind. And I know exactly what you're speaking about. You see the sisters coming from various parts of the world, and each sister dressed so differently. You know what's the most amazing, Samara, is that you can so easily identify the South Africans, because we have our big black burqas on and black abayas generally, and that's why you can identify the South Africans so easily.
And we're so few, we're so few.
Yes, yes.
When you go to the Roshi Mubarak as well, you can, what you normally do is, the Salam time opens at about, from after Fajr till 11 o'clock, and then after Zohar till 3 o'clock. Then in the evening from after Isha, right up till 2 o'clock. So what we normally do is we actually time ourselves. If we leave the hotel at about 10:30, then you actually go in, they actually group you different countries, and you sit with different countries. If they ask us, where are you from? I said, South Africa. So she said, okay, you need to sit with the ladies from Africa.
The African
continent is so big. You sit with the ladies from Mali, from Algeria, and you sit with all of them. But because we're so few, in fact, the other day we gapped in with the Chinese ladies. And alhamdulillah, because we're so tiny, so you try and maneuver your way this way and that way, and sometimes they pull you this way and that way, pull your burqa this way and that way. But alhamdulillah, if you're still going to go into the groups as well, you need to sit and wait, and you will get Rawda Mubarak. You will get a chance to read your two rakats, and you will get a chance to make salam, and you will make lots of chances to actually sit there, even if it's for about 2 or 3 minutes. But now the crowds are really coming in. You can actually see, in fact, I think today after Zohar, you just brought the army in, so the harem is really getting quite full.
Alhamdulillah. So Samara, unfortunately, that's where we'll have to leave it today, inshallah. I'm hoping that next week and the weeks to follow, you are available to join us. For whenever you are available to join us, I'm sure the listeners will really appreciate it and are really excited and look forward to it when you give us a live account of what's happening on that side. So inshallah, all that and much more you can expect next week in the program Women's Weekly. But what you can expect after the break, inshallah, is our audio ziyara, where we speak about various places in the Haramain, as well as the female messiah. Yes, the sister's guide to Hajj continues after the break. So we'd like to thank Sister Amara, Jazakallah Khair, for joining us, and we'll meet the listeners on the other side of the break, inshallah.
Al Tawheed Islamic Center appeals to you to donate generously towards our various community projects, namely building of masajid, madaris, schools and dawah programs for the underprivileged. We also offer computer, sewing and woodworking classes. We accept zakat, lilla, sadaqa and all other donations. Visit us at shop number L31 next to the South Sea Trade Route Mall or 31 Protea Avenue, Lanesia. Call 011-854-9510. May the Almighty reward you for your continuous support.
Sedgar's, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgar's, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenoff. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
You are tuned to Women's Weekly on Radio Islam International.
This is the program Women's Weekly, and we're into our second half of the program. The second half is broken up into two parts. In the first part, we will have an audio ziyara of the Haramain Sharifain, and today we conclude our discussion on Masjid al-Haram and move on to Mina, Muzdalifah and Arafah. Thereafter, in the very final segment of the program, the last 10 minutes, we will discuss your female messiah queries that have been coming in, and as I discussed some with you yesterday, today we will continue from there. So inshallah, if we were to carry on now with the conclusion of the audio ziyara of Masjid al-Haram, let's look at what they say. So it is mentioned that Masjid al-Haram has 9 minaras. Many of these minaras were put up by the various kings during their various reigns. Thereafter, the escalators. During the reign of Khadimul Haramain, 7 escalators were installed to make access to and from the upper stories of the Haram easy. Every escalator can transport 1,500 people in an hour. The air conditioning in the Haram, Masjid al-Haram, there is a plant, and the plant is housed in a 6-story building that is located 600 meters from the Haram on Ajyad Road. So this is the plant that supplies the air conditioning for the entire Masjid al-Haram. Now we go on to Mina. The word Mina means to flow. It is so named because it is here that the blood of the sacrificial animals flow during the days of Eid al-Adha. Some scholars maintain that the Arabs usually name a place Mina when it is a venue for large gatherings. This place therefore deserves the name because large crowds gather here during the days of Hajj. Mina, or sometimes called Muna by the local Arabs, is situated between Mecca and Muzdalifah, 7 kilometers east of the Masjid al-Haram, and if one is using the tunnels that have recently been put up, then it is a mere 4 kilometers away. Mina is a place of gathering and falls within the perimeter of the Haram. It is the site where Hazrat Ibrahim a.s. pelted the shaitan and where a ram was sent from Jannah to be sacrificed in place of Hazrat Ismail a.s. Emulating the practice of Hazrat Ibrahim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also pelted stones at 3 places and also sacrificed an animal. This is now practiced by all the people performing Hajj when they pelt the jamarat and slaughter an animal. The Masjid al-Khayf
is the masjid located in Mina. This masjid marks a historic place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as other anbiya performed salah. Also in Mina is a mountain besides which the Ansar of Medina pledged their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they took the pledge of Al-Aqaba. It was a result of this pledge that Islam spread in Medina, and because of which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated there. It was in Mina that Surah Nasr and Surah Mursalat were revealed, and where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent several nights during the farewell Hajj. After sacrificing his animals in Mina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "This is where I have slaughtered my animals, but slaughtering can be carried out throughout the area of Mina. You should therefore slaughter your animals at your own tents." Masjid Khayf is the masjid that is located at the foot of the mountain in the south of Mina, close to the smallest Jamarat. It was at this spot where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and numerous other Anbiya performed Salah. Hazrat Yazid bin Aswad says that when he performed Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was at Masjid Khayf that he performed the Fajr Salah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was at this site that Muslim Khulafa leaders also stayed. The Cave of Mursalat. This cave derives its name from the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here when Surah Mursalat was revealed. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reports that we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a cave in Mina when Surah Mursalat was revealed to him. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the surah, I listened to it carefully and memorized each and every word as it left his lips. Allama Fasi, a historian, says that this cave is famous from past times. It is located behind Masjid-e-Khayf on the side of a mountain that faces towards Yemen. Modern historians, though, say that the Cave of Mursalat is famously located on the mountain immediately besides Masjid-e-Khayf. It lies higher up on the mountain that is in a southerly direction. So, that's Masjid-e-Khayf and the Cave of Mursalat. Now, another aspect that we need to know about Mina is the Jamarat, where we go and pelt the three structures that represent the three times that Shaitan tried to deter Ibrahim alayhi salam from slaughtering Ismail alayhi salam according to the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jamarat is the plural of the word Jamara, which means a small pebble. There are three Jamarat located here. The first one being referred to as the small Jamara, the second one referred to as the middle Jamara, and the third one as the big. Wusta, Ula, and Aqaba. The term Rami of the Jamarat refers to the throwing of the pebbles of these Jamarat. During his farewell Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing between the Jamarat on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah when he said, "O people, what day is this?" And the Sahaba replied, "It is a sacred day." He then asked, "Which city is this?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further asked, "Which city is this?" And a reply came, "It is a sacred city." When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked, "Which month is this?" They replied, "It is a sacred month." Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Your blood, your wealth, your honor, and your lives are just as sacred to each other as this day, this city, this month is." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated this statement and then pointed towards the heavens and say, "O Allah, have I not conveyed the message? O Allah, have I not conveyed the message?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then addressed the people saying, "Those present here should pass on the message to those who are not here. You people should never turn away from the deen after me and start killing each other." Each of the three Jamarat are stone pillars with a low circular wall around them. It is worth noting that the largest of the Jamarat has only a semicircular wall around it because it was located against a hill and pelting could be done from only one side. When the hill was demolished, To make way for a road, the wall was left as is, so that pouting could take place as it always has been. Those with an interest in historical facts should note that the height of the hill that was flattened for the construction of the road was 100 meters high. For the convenience of the ever-increasing number of Hajjaj, a bridge was built over the Jamarat in the year 1383, from which pelting can now also be done. In the interest of the Hajjaj, the bridge has been widened several times in both directions, and it should also be noted that the distance between the last and the middle Jamarat is 247 meters, while the distance between the first and the second is 200 meters. So, this is with regards to the Jamarat. Now, after having spoke about Mina, the bridge of the Jamarat, and the various Jamarat, we go on to speak about the Wadi-e-Muhassar. Where is Wadi-e-Muhassar and what is it? It was a place between Mina and Muzdalifah where Allah destroyed Abraha and his army of elephants. This incident is mentioned in Surah Al-Fil. It is sunnah for Hajjaj to walk briskly past this area, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did so too. The hadith is reported by Hazrat Jabir radiallahu anhu, in which he states that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked briskly when he arrived at Wadi al-Muhassar, and explaining the reason for this, Allama ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says that it was a habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to briskly pass by any area where Allah's punishment had come. Another reason is that this was the area where the Arabs used to gather during the period of ignorance to laud the achievements of their forefathers. The Sharia, therefore, wishes to oppose the practices of ignorance by hastening past this area. So, subhanAllah, that is our audio ziyara chapter for today. And inshallah, in next week's program, next week Monday and Tuesday that is, you can expect to learn all about Muzdalifah, Masjid-e-Mash'ar-al-Haram, and Arafah, the plains of Arafah, and the Masjid that is located there. So, join me on the other side, inshallah, where I will discuss female masail with you.
It's exciting. Pressure is mounting. Mahikeng is warming up. The 4th Annual Northwest Free State and Northern Cape Islamiyat Speech Contest is back. Don't miss out on the opportunity to listen to the vibrant voices of our young jewels that will take you on a spiritual journey and motivate you to do good while keeping you thoroughly entertained. Will Mahikeng be magnificent, or will Cloudstore, Kronstadt and Kimberley keep their cool? Or will Welcome Wild crowd? Will Rustenburg be remarkable, while Potchefstroom reveals its power? Or will there be more surprises from neighbours Freiburg and Zeerust? So be in Mahikeng on Sunday the 6th of September at the Mabato Civic Centre from 9:30 a.m. or tune in to Radio Islam to witness the unveiling of young talent.
With Crescent of Hope. Once again, Crescent of Hope brings you Qurbani at affordable prices locally and internationally. And trust us with your Nifl or Wajib Qurbani performed by Ulama and Crescent of Hope members. Excess funds will be utilized for deen activities. Funds will not benefit any individual. Contact Crescent of Hope on 011-852-7370, 137 Rose Avenue, Lanesha. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanesha. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
When you're up. after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Where will the smart shoppers shop? At Honeybee, of course. Where else? Browse through our newly extended shop where you'll find that baking is a pleasure. At Honeybee, you'll find everything under one roof. From breathtaking floral arrangements, decadent chocolates, nutty parcels, appliances, biscuit boxes, and wedding and bridal gifts to please.
Win a Kenwood K-Mix baking machine and loads of other prizes. 10% of all baking goodies. Specials valid from the 4th and 5th and Sunday the 6th of September. Try our new molding chocolate exclusive to Honeybee.
Honeybee, our prices don't sting.
This is Women's Weekly on Radio Islam International.
It's me, Zakir Ansar Mia, and we are on the program Women's Weekly this Tuesday afternoon. I am sitting in for Sister Amara, who, alhamdulillah, is on the beautiful journey of Hajj. And yes, she currently is in Madinatul Munawwara, really enjoying Medina. I'm sure the tranquility and the peace of the beautiful city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we here in the studios will continue. And yes, what are we speaking about today? We're doing your female masail queries like we would normally do on a Tuesday and on a Monday afternoon, the Sister's Guide to Hajj in the second segment of the program. Like that, we will continue right up till the days of Eid. And closer to the days of Eid, we will speak about Qurbani, the do's and don'ts for females, etc. So if you have any queries and questions, even with regards to Qurbani, keep them coming in on the number 061-406-2688 or simply drop me an email on za@radioislamlive.com. Today our queries are a little bit different, I would think, because they're not very female related, but they are indeed from the listeners. So we will be taking them nonetheless. The question is with regards Qurbani and Dame Shukr. So the listener would like to know if a Haji who is on the journey of Hajj, and not normally the South African Hujjaj perform Hajj Tamattu. So in order to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity to make Tamattu Hajj, that is perform Umrah and Hajj, in one journey we make what is called a Dame Shukr. Often it is referred to as the Qurbani, right, the sacrificial animal that is slaughtered, but in actual fact this is what it is. It is a Dame Shukr. Now the question is, does a Haji have to make Qurbani at home even though he is gone for Hajj and he is making this Dame Shukr? The answer is that no, it is not necessary and wajib for him to make a Qurbani at home, because the Dame Shukr does to an extent suffice for the Qurbani of this Haji. But at the same time, if one is by the means, then it is a good habit to make the Qurbani at home as well as make the Dame Shukr. And the Dame Shukr is obviously something necessary for the completion of our Hajj. The next query is about Tawafuz Ziyara. And it is mentioned, and I think I did mention this in yesterday, perhaps that's where the question, that's what gave rise to the listener's question. Is Sa'i necessary after making Tawaful Ziyara or Tawaful Ifaba, as it is also known? Yes, Sa'i is necessary, as this Tawaf is a Tawaf that is accompanied by Sa'i. So yes, Sa'i is necessary and it will have to be made. The next query speaks about pelting of the jamarat. So, I've read in many a book that only one jamara is pelted on the 10th. Is this true and is this correct? Alright. Yes, this is correct. So, when they say you will only pelt one jamara, and perhaps also if you heard yesterday's discussion that we were having about the jamarat, then you would have understood that The Jamarat upheld all three upheld on the 11th, 12th and 13th. But only one Jamara is upheld on the 10th. So on the 10th, you need to do certain things. The first thing that you need to do is upheld your Jamara. And that is the biggest Jamara. Then you need to ensure that your Qurbani, your Dam-e Shukr is done. Some Hujjaj go to the place where the Qurbani gets done, the Madbah, and others don't go, but rather they are allotted a number, and the hotel reception is phoned, and they are told that, you know, the Qurbani is done, and that is how they know it is done, right? And then the next thing, so you've made your, you've pelted, you've had your Qurbani done. The Haji and the Hajiya can then go, the Haji can go shave his hair, trim the hair of his wife, and one is now out of the first stage of Ihram. After this, you can have a shower, you know, take a bath with scented items, etc., don normal garments. And thereafter, one goes to Masjidul Haram to perform the Tawafu Ziyara and to make the Sa'i. That is the act that should be done on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. With regards pelting on the other days, the 11th, the 12th and the 13th. So on the 11th and the 12th, all three Jamara will be pelted, starting off at the small, then the medium, then the big. And the same will be done on the, you will do that on the 11th, after Zawal, on the 12th after Zawal, and if you choose to stay on for the 13th, then on the 13th you will do it as well, and there is some leeway given for the 13th, since this is the last day of Hajj and most people want to leave, so you could do it after Ishraq, that is fine. When pelting the Jamarat, we should make a dua after pelting the first one and after pelting the second, but not after the third. So that is a few notations there that you can make with regards to the pelting of the Jamarat and which ones need to be pelted on which days, right? So the 13th day is not a necessary day, it's not a compulsory day where people have to stay. But if you are going to stay, then you will pelt on this day as well. When making dua, does one have to face the Qibla? As if I am in crowds, how will I know which direction the Qibla is in? Now, let's remember that when making dua, it is not a prerequisite that we have to face the Qibla. It is rather an etiquette of dua, right? It is an etiquette of dua. That for our dua to be more readily accepted, then we should try and face the Qibla. But if you are in large crowds, especially like, you know, if you are going to pelt the Jamarat, etc., and you are in large crowds and you cannot turn around to face the Qibla and make the dua, then making dua not facing the Qibla is absolutely fine and there will be no sin in this, right? Then another sister would like to know, every time I make tawaf, do I need to make sa'i? No, sister. Every time you make tawaf, there is no sa'i that is needed. Sa'i is only done in umrah. That is when you first come to Makkatul Mukarramah and you perform your first umrah, and thereafter any subsequent umrahs that you will perform after that. And yes, please do remember that you don't only have to perform this one umrah when you enter Makkatul Mukarramah for the first time. But no, if you wish to make umrahs after that whilst you are still in Mecca, then by all means, before going to Aziziyah and before the big crowds come in, if after a few days you've regained your stamina and you would like to, after 2 or 3 days, make another umrah, by all means, you go out, you go to the masjid on the outskirts, you perform your 2 rak'at, Salatul Ihram, obviously you don your Ihram, go out, perform your surahs, come back reading your Talbiyah and perform your Umrah as normal, right? So all other Umrahs will be as normal, and every Umrah consists of 2 parts. One is the Tawaf and the other is the Sa'i. When you perform a normal Tawaf, right, then you do not need to make sa'i with this, because normal tawaf is, like performing your normal 5 daily salah. And the ulama tell us that it is more meritorious for us to perform more tawaf than to make more umrah. So if you do have this stamina, then rather perform 2 or 3 or 4 tawafs a day, if you can manage it with the crowds and with the heat and all of that, then to go out and actually perform in umrah. Also, in Madinatul Munawwara, key factor that we should keep in mind is that we should try and send durood on Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in abundance from wherever we are all the time when we're in Madinatul Munawwara, right? And when in Makkatul Mukarrama, then the ibadah that should be of most importance to us should be tawaf, and tawaf cannot be made anywhere else but only in Makkatul Mukarrama. So even the Qur'an tilawa, even all of that should be done on a much lesser level, and the tawaf should be given priority. This is something that has come to us from the ulama who have written many, many books of Umrah and Hajj, etc. Is it necessary to kiss the Hajarul Aswad every time we go and make a tawaf? No, it is not necessary. It is recommended, right? And when I say recommended, I am speaking about the actual kissing procedure, going up to the Hajarul Aswad and actually getting there and kissing it. Because some people, and I say this because myself included, have gone on Hajj and Umrah and not managed to do this. Perhaps because of my small stature also, it is just impossible to have got there and actually did it. But yes, istilam at every shout during tawaf is necessary. What is istilam? Istilam is the motion that you make to show as though you are kissing the Hajarul Aswad. So you will stretch out your hands saying Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and you will then kiss your palms and continue going on like that. So that is what istilam is all about. So I'm not sure which way you were meaning, is the kissing of the Hajarul Aswad necessary, but alhamdulillah, I think I've covered both aspects there for you. And yes, we've come to the end of the program Women's Weekly this Tuesday afternoon. It gives me great pleasure to be with you two weekday afternoons for the next few weeks. And inshallah, I hope that we can learn, we can, enrich each other's lives, inshallah. So keep those queries and questions coming in, your motivation and your inspiration that you'd like to share with me on the program, so that I may share it with the other listeners. You can keep all this coming in. And please do remember to make special du'as for myself and my family, as I will remember you in my special du'as as well. Until we meet next week, Monday afternoon, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.